2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy and chapter 2, and if you're there in chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, and you follow in your copy of God's Word, the King James Bible, as I read. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Amen? All right. Now, I'm lifting out of that scripture that I read one verse, and actually one phrase from that verse that is the theme of what I'm going to preach to you on tonight. And would you look down at verse 3, it says, Thou therefore endure hardness. And then the phrase, "as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." That's what I want to look at, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, keep in mind, when the apostle wrote these inspired words, he was incarcerated in the city of Rome. He was in a jail, and it was called the Mamertine Prison. And you didn't have doors and bars to get out of that jail. It was dank and dark, and you had to come in from the top and be let down in order to get into that jail. And it was right by the Tiber River, and winter was approaching. And I hear some people with coughs and everything. I'm sure it was conducive to coughs and sickness. And he had served the Lord, getting the gospel out. Probably the greatest church planter of all time. And he was now being rewarded by being incarcerated. And he was about to be executed. And different people had left him for different reasons. Only Luke was with him. Where's Luke? Oh, good, Luke. Dr. Luke, it was his physician, was with him, and he had asked and requested for some books to read and some Bible scriptures to read, and he wanted a cloak because it was cold in there, didn't have a blanket in it. Can you imagine? It was tough. And he is thinking about the fact that he is going to give his life now on the battlefield. He's going to be a casualty in the war. And he says to young Timothy here under inspiration that you should do this as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And you know what? My wife and I just returned from a couple of weeks of celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary. The week before, we went to Hilton Head and down to Florida. We spent a week with our children, 6 children, 15 grandchildren, 4 spouses, and about 27 of us in all, and that were of the family. And we had a wonderful, it was just decorated in the yard with lights and a beautiful setting. And there we were at a head table. They set the table up, catered in food, really good food. It was a great night. My wife just cried all night. She was so happy. And but then we went down, and we've had this time of celebration in R&R. But you know what I think of R&R? You know what R&R means? It means rest and recuperation. And it actually is a military term that comes from soldiers that are on the battlefield. They need R&R, rest and recuperation. And that's the way I look at what we're doing. It's rest and recuperation for a couple in the Baptist Brigade. My wife is a soldier. I call her the weeping warrior. and my wife lost a baby in the battle for the Lord. And she's gone through a lot. But she still has a sweet spirit and a heart to serve God for all of these years. And boy, we need to appreciate veteran soldiers. Amen. MacArthur said old soldiers never die. They just fade away. And he was a great World War II hero, Douglas MacArthur. But you know, we have our church business year starting this year, this month, actually September. And some of you have had your R&R in 2023. Bobby and Angela just mentioned it, and we've had opportunities for that. But now is the time, right? Now is the time to march on the gates of hell. Now is the time to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. And, you know, the Bible says if you're saved, you've been chosen, listen, to be a what? A soldier, not a civilian. And that's not very popular today. But it's biblical that you're chosen to be a soldier. And I thought tonight, you know, since we're chosen to be soldiers, we need to know how to be a good soldier. You and I need to know from the Word of God how that we can be good soldiers. And, you know, we're starting out our year, and the Baptist Brigade here, Scranton Revival Baptist, if you're saved, that's the first thing. You get baptized, that's putting on the uniform by being dunked, amen. And then after that, you join the church. That's you're enlisted in the Army. You got to be in a brigade. Eric, Joe's son, he was in the 105th, was it? Which one was it? 109th? I always say the 5th. 109th regiment there in the Army. And you have to get into a local church. Some people, you know, they don't want to be enlisted in the Army. They don't want to be accountable and all that. But that's not what the Bible says. The simile is soldiering. And there's an athletic simile and a farming simile. But I'm preaching on the soldiering simile tonight. You're enlisted to be a soldier, are you? Have you been saved? Have you been baptized? Have you joined a specific brigade? Well, that's all important. And, you know, we have our business year. And the culmination of the business year is in August, because we start up again in September. And the last big thing we did was what? Help me out. Oh, come on. What was it? Vacation Bible School. And you're pretty tired after that. Amen. And that was the climax of our year of ministry. And right after that, we kind of scheduled our anniversary right in there. And what I'm saying to you is that you are enlisted to be a soldier. And as a soldier, you are to go to war for the Lord. You're to be fighting for the Lord. Now, remember King David? He was a great warrior, wasn't he? He was a great general. But the Bible says when the kings went out to war, what was David doing? He stayed back at home. He took too much leisure. Too much. And he got into trouble. Right. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. And I want to tell you tonight, as you think about the new year, I want to help you tonight from the Word of God of how to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Don't worry, he'll give you R&R. He said, come ye apart and rest a while. He knows how much you need to recharge your batteries. But he calls you to be a soldier. And we're just beginning the year, September. And it goes right on to August. And so I want to challenge you from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, how to be a good soldier. And the first thing I want to say tonight, there's four things I'll say. First, you can do it by enduring hardness. Now notice what it says in verse number 3. Endure what?
Hardness.
Endure what?
Hardness.
Endure what?
Hardness.
As a good soldier. So you're to endure hardness. A soldier must endure hardness. And if you look at a soldier, I had a friend of mine named Bill McQuarrie. He was my best friend in high school. And he was quite a guy, and we were best friends. And he was about 3 years older than me. And he wanted to be a Marine, and he wanted to be a police officer. He became both. Then he became a wealthy businessman. But he, first of all, was a Marine and a police officer, worked in the vice squad of all things. And I remember he almost got cut by a prostitute with a razor blades between her finger. They were trying to arrest her, and he was going to slash his face up. But But he went into the Marines and he went to Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. Oh, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. He didn't go to Camp Lejeune. He went to Parris Island. And that's in the Carolinas, Parris Island. And Parris Island was known for abusing soldiers, literally. And he went there and he had to endure some hardness. I remember him telling me they were on a forced march just to be in training. And I don't know how many miles they went. And he had his rifle and they were marching through swamps and everything. And he just passed out. And when he passed out, he said his rifle went up into his head. It was bad news, you know. But my friend Bill McQuarrie, he was transformed in boot camp in the Marines. And he endured hardness as a good soldier. And what I am saying to you is that to be a soldier, you have to be willing to endure some hardness. You have to be willing to endure some hardness. You know, I'm not a civilian, I'm a soldier, amen? And actually, this was written to preachers and preacher boys. Timothy is actually written by Paul to a preacher to train preachers who are really in the Lord's army in the sense of full-time Christian service, amen? And so I'm borrowing from that for all of you tonight, but I'm letting you know the background of this. But we need to be soldiers and to be involved in enduring hardness as good soldiers. And what I'm saying is that I was talking to my Sunday school class about the book of Revelation chapter 18. And do you know that there is in chapter 18 the celebration of the time during the Great Tribulation when people are going to be so rich and they're going to have a lot of money living under socialism. They're going to have a lot of money, and it's not going to be necessarily earned. They'll get it whether they earn it or not. Sometimes I want to be an illegal alien just to get paid all the money they're giving them. Go to New York State, you get a whole lot. They're complaining, but they give them all that money. What do they expect? They're complaining. They're blaming the governor of Texas. How about blaming Obama, who's telling Biden to do it? But anyway, it's just a mess. It's just a mess. But when this great tribulation comes, Satan is going to have his man running the whole socialist fascist system, and people will be really rich for a while. But you know what? If you're a born-again believer and you're a soldier in God's army, you won't be able to participate in that money system. It will be illegal. You say, is that going to come for Christians? Sooner or later, it will come. And you need to know about it. You say, why should I need to know about it? To endure hardness as a good soldier. We're not home yet. So missionaries came home from Africa, and on the boat, they were coming home, and there was a ticker tape parade when they landed in New York City. And you know the story, the wife looked at the husband. The husband said to the wife, my, oh my, here's a ticker tape parade, but it's not for us. Teddy Roosevelt went over to Africa on a big game hunt, and they were cheering and screaming for him because he came back by killing some big game, you know, and he was coming back to New York. They'd spent their whole life in Africa, pouring out their lives, and nobody came to meet him at the boat. And the husband kind of looked at the wife and said, you know, what's it all about? She said, honey, we're not home yet. We're not home yet. We're not home yet. I believe when Paul put his head on the stone there and the sword came down and cut off his head, there was nobody around. Maybe Dr. Luke. Nobody around. The greatest church planter of all time. Nobody to cheer him on. Nobody. But I believe when that head came off, and the angels were there to greet him, and he came home to heaven. There was like, yay! There he is! Yes! He's coming home! It's Paul! Amen. I believe it. And you know, there are carnal type Christians like the Corinthians were. And Paul said, I wish that we were in the kingdom so we could reign with you guys. But we're the apostles, and you know, we're giving the gospel. We're suffering for it. And you guys are just having a wonderful time. And so I'm saying that part of being a soldier, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, is going through hardness and training. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation that they're going to live deliciously and they're going to have their dainties. And I think of the guy in Luke 16 that was dying, and then he went to hell in Luke 16. And the Bible said he was a rich man, and every day he had dainties. Every day he fared sumptuously. But now he's in fire and he's crying out in pain. When people are dying and going to hell, should we be faring sumptuously every day? Now, I like dainties. I was telling Brother Steve, it's nice to have something nice, or we get some dainties there at school. Know what I'm talking about? And we have our dainties, and we have good food and all of that. My wife and I, we enjoyed good food when we were away. I thank God for that. We had the money to give it. I couldn't help but think, the Bible says, having food and raiment, let us be content. And yet we were given so much more than that. And God gives us richly all things to enjoy. But the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Are you preparing yourself to be a good soldier? It's good to fare sumptuously, but I think some Christians are faring too much sumptuously, and they're sad and gluttonous and soft and not ready. I told my class, I said, Harry Houdini, he was going to be chained and put into the Detroit River and dropped in that river through the ice in the middle of winter. And he had to free himself from those chains and come up through the ice. And that was his great escape act. And the papers were there and everybody was there when they dropped Houdini. But I said, Houdini spent months in a bathtub making the water colder and colder, a little bit at a time. And then he would put in more ice and more ice into the water until he was hours in ice water before that happened. And then they dropped him through the ice. And the amazing thing was, he was supposed to come up. He got loose real quick. He was great. But when he came up, he didn't realize that the current of the river had taken him a mile and a half downstream. And they cut the ice, but he came up and it was solid ice. And he's like, and he kept his head and he survived under the ice because there was about this much airspace between the ice and the river water. And you could swim like that. And because he had hardened himself, he swam for that mile and a half upstream. He didn't get there till hours later, maybe 6 hours, 8 hours, I don't know exactly. But the Detroit paper had Houdini drowns in big headlines. And he emerged alive. You know, we like to study prophecy and talk about those times. And, you know, but how are you doing now? Do you have times of fasting? Do you have times when you discipline your eating and your training and your life? Or are you, instead of buffeting your body, are you buffeting your body most every day? My wife and I, when we travel, we like to go to Golden Corrals. I like that. I went to a number of Golden Corrals. I'm always looking for a Golden Corral. Golden Corral. Especially down south. And I buffet my body. Buffet my body. But I can't do that continuously. You can't keep living like that. I'm just saying that we need to endure hardness as a good soldier, just like a soldier has to have that, because they are involved in fighting a war, and they'll be disqualified from the war. And too many Christians are soft and gluttonous, and it's not a good thing. I was out on bus ministry with Brother Matt, and we were knocking on some doors, and we went up into Einan. There was a young guy there in Einan, and he hadn't ridden on Matt's bus thing for a long time. And I said to Brother Matt, I said, why hasn't he been on your bus? And he said, I don't know. He just hasn't been. I've been visiting, Pastor. I've been there. So I said, well, let's visit. So we visited, and he came to the door. He didn't come to the door when we knocked. I sat on the porch, and I saw a little window open, and I said, and I called his name. You know, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. And he's a saved young man. I believe he's saved. He knows the Lord through this church. He got baptized, I believe. He came to the door when I called. Right to the door. I said his name. Boom. He came to the door. I said, why haven't you been going to church? We've been missing you. You know what he told me? I can't get up at 7 a.m. It's too early. Well, then we established you don't have to get up at 7 to get there. You can get up at 8 and get there. I said, what time do you got to get up to school? Do you remember what he said? 6 o'clock. I said, you can't get up for Sunday school? You can't get up at 8 to be in the Lord's army? What kind of soldier is that? Brother Hiles said, I don't wake up every morning. I get resurrected. He set an alarm and gets resurrected. I thank God. God wakes me up. I don't have to get resurrected. I get up early a lot of times, but I don't have to set the alarm. I just get up. Got up about 5 this morning. No, I got up about 4. Prayed an hour and got out of bed. But I'm just saying to you, why are Christians in the West so soft? In America, so soft? And we talk a good game about this and that, but we're not enduring hardness as good soldiers of the cross of Jesus Christ, and we need to be able to do that. I think of preachers, and preachers need to endure hardness. I think of Brother Z here. I've tried to encourage him, take Friday off during the day. Take a break. Take a break. Take a break. As he's working. He's working. A lot of pressure, a lot of ministry. Want him to be around for the long haul. Amen. Take a break. You need a day of rest a week. But it also says, not only one day of rest, how about 6 days of meaningful work for the Lord? And so that's the other part of that. And so we need to be involved in the Lord's army and marching in the Lord's army. And you know what? When we left Hilton Head, South Carolina, it was really nice there. And we left there, and I drove 14 hours from Hilton Head to get here late on Wednesday night. I was already in the mode of I'm back in the saddle, and I'm starting to gallop hard. And we got in Wednesday, and then Thursday, we went right to it into school and into church and into ministries. And Thursday night, out soul winning. But when I got back Thursday, a problem was given to me. Another problem was given to me in the church. A third problem was given to me. A fourth problem was given to me. You know how Paul said the care of the churches, plural, was on me? Well, the care of the church was on me on Thursday. And I was telling my daughter about it, and she goes, well, maybe you should admit it. You should delegate. I said, we did delegate. I said, but and the men were faithful. I said, but remember Moses? He delegated to leaders. But what did it say? The leaders were to handle certain things, but all the hard cases had to come up eventually to him. I said, I have to deal with some of the hard things. And we did it. And God blessed it. And that's what I'm saying to you, that God says to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and that means like when a soldier is in battle and he sees the grenades going off, he sees the firefights happening, does he turn tail and run and say, I just need to get out of the pressure? No, he stays in there. He stays in there. How about you? Have you been enduring hardness as a good soldier? Have you been taking on the disciplines of living the Christian life to be a soldier? That's how you can be a good soldier, by being willing to do that. That is number one. Number two is, and secondly, not only by enduring hardness, but you can do it by being strengthened by grace. Look what it says in 2 Timothy 2:1. It says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the what?
Grace.
The grace that is in Christ Jesus. We didn't get in this thing by being stronger than other people. We didn't get in this thing by being better than other people, more disciplined than other people. We're not saved by good works. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works. God didn't save us because we were some great heroes and soldiers, but he saved us by the grace of God. And that grace, once you're saved by grace, the grace here means God's power that's given to you who depend on the Lord and upon your union with the Lord, and that you give out what God gives you to help others, and God keeps pouring that grace into you as you keep pouring it out. And I think of Philippians, where it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, I can do all things through what? Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, people change that. And instead of which strengtheneth me, in the modern translations it says oft times, who strengtheneth me? And it's talking about Christ as the source of your strength. And they say, see, the King James has it wrong. They use the word which instead of who. Who points to Christ as the source? But it's not pointing just to Christ as the source. It's pointing to a process of how grace comes into your life. Listen, how you're strengthened by grace. It's the grace of God which strengtheneth you. How? Through Christ Jesus. That is, through your channel of being united to Jesus. See, when you got saved, not only did you have your sins forgiven and a home in heaven, but you became spiritually joined to Christ. That's why a true Christian can never lose it, because he's united to Christ. And he won't wither on the vine. He keeps on going. He keeps on abiding in Christ, John 15. That's what it's talking about. Because the grace is coming into it. And you say, how do you get that grace? Well, you get it by being united to Christ. But how does it flow through you? When you do his will. I can do all things through Christ, through my union with Christ, which strengtheneth me. In other words, when I'm walking in that union with Christ, depending upon him for grace, and then doing the things he wants me to do, the grace will be there, the power will be there, the provision will be there, the help will be there. And it's not hard. He said, my yoke is what?
Easy.
And my burden is light. We've talked about enduring hardness, but you do it with the grace of God. And by the grace of God. And are you doing that? If you're not drawing upon the grace of God, listen to me, by taking in from the Lord and giving out for the Lord, then you're going to have a problem, my friend, and you're not going to be a good soldier. I'm going to tell you that right now. Now, let me say this. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us come boldly unto what? The throne of what?
Grace.
That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, I don't know about you, but I need mercy every day. You know what mercy is? It's forgiveness and pity when you fail to get grace, when you sin. And listen, if you don't go to the Lord for mercy as your high priest, not at the end of the week, not when you see the Roman Catholic high priest or whatever, you got Jesus, right? When you sin, go to him immediately. He said, Lord, I sinned. I need mercy. I failed to the grace of God. I do it every day. I did it before the service today. I always do it. I find mercy. But I also find grace because I want to succeed for the Lord too. Right? I want to succeed. And Hebrews 4:16 says that you can get... We're talking about you being a good soldier. You're not going to be a good soldier if you don't get this mercy and then this grace, especially. I get mercy so I can get grace. And it keeps you going. You know, we were driving. We just started here at 7 in the morning. We got after midnight down to Titusville, Florida, where Cape Canaveral is, and where we were staying on that first day. We drove it in one day. But you know what we had to do? Stop at gas stations and get gas. If we didn't get gas, we weren't going. You know what? I can't live tonight on this morning's grace. We can't live this week on last week's grace. You need to get it fresh. The Jewish people every morning had to gather the manna, and if they tried to store it up, it would breed worms and stink. You can't hold on to grace and hoard it. The Dead Sea takes in the River Jordan's water and hoards it and is dead. Sea of Galilee, that takes in the waters from Mount Hermon in the north and other tributaries and gives it out to the Jordan in the south, and it's alive. Are you alive in teeming with life? Then you're taking in and giving out the grace of God. And you need to do it fresh, though, every day and throughout the day. And are you doing that? And so Hebrews 12:28 talks about grace. Listen to this one. It says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now, he's talking in Hebrews 12 about that big earthquake. Remember in Revelation, there's going to be the big earthquake? And it's the final greatest earthquake in the history of the world. And it's going to knock everything down, everything except the city of Babylon and the army of the beast that will fight in the Battle of Armageddon. And everything else is destroyed by that earthquake. And what he's saying here is everything's going to be destroyed by this earthquake. And so we're going to get a kingdom after this world is destroyed that Jesus is going to set up over the earth. And it cannot be shaken. So therefore, right now, while we live, let's get grace so we can live for the Lord. Why live as though we're reigning in the millennium now? No, we're soldiers. We're in foreign territory. We're to live for the Lord now, beloved. And he'll give you grace to do that. But you need to be a good soldier by enduring hardness and then by getting grace from the Lord to use it for him, and he will bless you. And that grace is a wonderful thing. Now, I want to give you one more scripture on that grace that we're talking about to live this life. It's in Titus 2, 11 through 14. Here's what it says. And the question is, how do I behave? How does that grace help me to behave? Here's what it says. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, all right, we know grace saves us from hell and sin, hath appeared to all men, not just the Jews, but to the Gentiles, all the different languages and nations of men. The grace of God hath appeared, and it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Are you doing that? Are you living soberly and righteously and godly? Soberly means you're not allowing anything to over-influence you, to intoxicate you. Righteously means you're doing right. Godly means you're putting God at the center of everything. He says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you living for Christ to come back? Do you know the prophecies? Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Are you peculiar? Are you set apart from the world? Are you holy? And are you zealous of good works? Are you full of good works? You don't get saved by good works, but you're saved unto good works. God says that's what the grace of God will do in your life when you're taking it in and you're giving it out. It will flow through you. And then he'll turn around when Christ comes back and he'll reward those good works that you do. But really, it's not you that do them. Who's doing them? Christ in you and through you. Amen. But you are doing them through Christ. So, but I'm just saying, how can you be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? First, by enduring hardness. Secondly, you can do it by being strengthened every day by his grace. And thirdly, you can do it by not entangling yourself in civilian life. Look at verse 4, chapter 2. It says, no man that warreth, what? What's the next word?
Entangleth.
Let's say that again. No man that warreth, what?
Entangleth
himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen to be a soldier. Now remember, it's addressed to preachers. And first and primarily, it means that preachers should be full-time in the ministry. Especially those that labor the word and doctrine should be full-time in the ministry. Now, at times, Paul had to work and so forth to help. But his main focus and concentration was on the ministry. There should be nothing to distract you. Just like a soldier, when he's fighting, he doesn't need to be dealing with all kinds of civilian matters. He needs to be freed up to be in the army for God. And that's so important. By the way, when you give tithes and offerings, you're helping missionaries. You're helping preachers. You're helping the work of God. And you should be doing that. And I should be doing that. Just like they used to buy war bonds and all that to help the war effort. You listen, don't entangle yourself in the affairs of this life. Now, some saints, I'm not talking about just preachers, some saints are so caught up with civilian events, they don't have time for the things of the Lord. Well, I got to go here to this party. I got to go here to this activity. I got to go here to this. I got to go here. I had somebody, when I came back, they said, Pastor, I got some relative has a wedding in another state, and I think I'll just go there this weekend and go to that wedding. What do you think? You think I ought to do that? I said, absolutely not. I said, you come to church. You do your ministry, and they had an important ministry in the church. I said, you want my counsel? You ask for it. That's what I'm giving you. Now, that might not make family members happy, but it's my counsel. Later on, he came to me and said, you gave me the right counsel. You gave me the right counsel. And recounted why. I'm just saying to you, listen, too many believers supposed to be soldiers and they're entangled in all these civilian activities that don't have to do with the kingdom of God that's coming. And people are dying and going to hell. And they're partying. Don't entangle yourself. And tonight, what is it that's entangling you? That's keeping you from seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And I will tell you, that's your enemy. Lay it aside. Sins and weights and entanglements, beloved. How can you be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? First, you've got to endure the hardness of it. Secondly, you've got to do it by being strengthened continually with God's strength, the strength of his grace given to you freely through Jesus Christ. And thirdly, you can do it by not entangling yourself in civilian life. And then finally, you can do it by what it says in verse 2. Look at verse 2. It says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now listen to me. Paul was on the saddle, right? He was galloping on the horse in the Lord's army. He was galloping to his execution. He was going to die on the battlefield. What is he doing? What's the last thing he's writing? Being a good soldier to a preacher that he had what? Trained. He's writing to him, and he is going to die in the saddle, and he's telling him, you need to be a good soldier. And how are you going to be a good soldier? Fourthly, you're going to be a good soldier by handing on what you've learned to somebody else, so when you're gone, they can carry on. I think of Paul. He was that kind of guy. He died still being a soldier, right? Still going. I think of men like Jack Hiles. Jack Hiles died, I think he was 74. And he had a belt he wore around him. He had problems, and he said, it's a truss. The belt was called a truss. And he said, my motto is trust and obey. Trust and obey. Word trust. But he kept going. He kept preaching. He was preaching in Mexico, but just before he died of a massive heart attack. And he went out going. But listen to me. Paul is dead. Hiles is dead. Amen? And in the grave. But let me tell you, what Jack Hiles did lives on.
Right.
What he did lives on. And men like Steven Anderson and Pastor Randy Bloom and people at Commonwealth and Bob Gray and all that. He lives on! Because, my friend, he passed it on. He passed it on. God wants you to pass it on. Older ladies, my wife does it, passes it on to younger ladies. And they are wise to learn from her and pass on. By the way, all that training should be and can be done in the local church. Timothy was a pastor, senior pastor of the church of Ephesus. And Paul was telling him, you can have training for men in the ministry by doing that. And he said, those men will be able to teach others who will in turn teach others. So you got Paul, Timothy, those that Timothy teaches, and others. You got four generations. And that comes right on down to us today. Hey, have you learned some things? You say, yeah, I've learned some things, and I'm doing it by myself. No, you need to take somebody with you. That's why we go out on Thursday, to take somebody with it. It's the training of it. And you that are doing it, you need to recruit somebody new. You say, well, I don't want like that. I just want to go in the same person all the time. Well, you're a soldier. Aye, aye, sir. Report for duty. I'm just saying tonight that there are ways for you to be a good soldier. And you can be a good soldier if you endure hardness. You can be a soldier by being strengthened by His grace. You can be a soldier by divesting yourself of the entanglements that keep you away from maxing out for Jesus. And you can be a soldier by training new soldiers who will train others. Hey, there's a great opportunity right now. It's your choice. Now, let me end with this. There are soldiers, and then there are what? Good soldiers. Which one are you? Are you a soldier or a good soldier? Eric Slobodnik was a good soldier. He gave his life for our freedom and our way of life. We have a Gold Star father here, Joe Slobodnik. He gave his life, and he learned the field manual, and he went by it, and he was a good soldier. Are you a good soldier of Jesus Christ? You know in 2 Timothy how you can be, and you have the grace extended to you. May God help you to be a good soldier. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. And the first thing I want to say is that...